Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
In a series called Out with the Old, In with the New, and this message has profoundly affected me. I've shared some of the insights that I'm about to share, but it just hit me in a way that the Word of God hasn't hit me before, spoken to me specifically like He has in this text, which I will do my very best to communicate to you. As notes are being passed out, let me emphasize 24 hours a day for 24 days. That's 24-hour prayer. We have 8 to 10 hours of prayer right here. And it's led live, most of it. Sometimes it's devotional. Other times it's as a prayer leader with specific focuses like Israel, like the church, like souls, and so on and so forth. I'd encourage you to jump in and be a part of that. And you can stop off at the Next Steps desk to find out how to take next steps to get into those prayer meetings. I believe they're going to continue to grow. It's a desire that we've had. That we made, that we would be a church that never closes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We will move towards that as we go through these really 40 days, 24 days of 24-hour prayer. Now, it's not 24 hours here, but overall 24 hours for King's Cathedral and Chapels. One church in many locations, 663 locations, moving towards 1,200. So we have live prayer here, 8 to 10 hours. You need to check the schedule. I'd encourage you to be a part of that. And I believe that at the end of that time, we're going to retain some of these. I don't believe we are. I'm telling you, we are going to retain some of these times of prayer. Perhaps not all of them. It's all about leadership. If you don't have leadership, you can't plant churches. If you don't have leadership, you can't have more prayer meetings. If you don't have people serving, you can't do more, and God wants to do more. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would thrust forth laborers, and we're praying that, and you know what? God is doing it, and I'm so grateful for that. All right, are you ready? Out with the old, in with the new. Special message this morning, the new life. A new life by new thinking. Before I read the text and get into that, let me emphasize, and I do believe we have a slide for that, the State of the Church Address. As the president preaches, we would wish the president would preach, but the truth. Can I get an amen? When the president shares a State of the Union address, people tune in from all over. There's a State of the Church address that we've been doing for many, many decades. And Dr. Morocco will be preaching that on February 4th in the morning right here. So you don't want to miss that. It is going to be very exciting to hear what the Lord has to say through our senior global pastor. Romans chapter 8. Stand up on your feet with me if you're able. Romans 8 verse 5 through 8. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think, everybody say think, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Wow. Let's go. Father, thank you for what you're going to do, what you have done already. People being healed, people being touched. Release your power as I preach your word. You stand over it to see it performed. Does not return void. Let living understanding come to each and every one of us. Lift the scales off of people's eyes and release your power, the truth of your word, so that we could live the new life. Out with the old life, in with the new. A new life by new thinking. Help us to change today by the power of the Spirit and the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, oh, it's going to be good this morning. It's a Christian neuroscientist named Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who has some fascinating insights from her studies and listening to some of her lectures on YouTube and just allowing the truth of science and the word match. The word has preeminence over science, but you'll find that science will back the word. And what's amazing to me is to have an understanding of the word of God for these many years and to hear science, neurological science, back what we know from scripture. And it's just profound. And the results, and she's, like I said, a Christian neuroscientist. Listen to some of these statistics, some of these facts, and I will back them with scripture. Too many scriptures to read them all to you in the introduction of this message, but more than 75% of illnesses that plague us today are a result of our thought life. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Our thoughts and our internal attitudes can shape our character, they do shape our actions, they do shape our behavior, and it underscores the importance, really, of what you think. What do you think? What are you thinking? What are you thinking right now? Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul. Sticks and stones will never hurt me. How does that go? But words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words hurt. Words can bring curses. Words can wound deeply. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Wow. Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What's fascinating to me as we move on is that thoughts become physical structures in the mind, in the brain. Let me say it that way. So you have a brain, most of us. Some I'm not so sure. You know what? If you come to Jesus and you don't have a brain, God can give you one. He did that for me. He is still doing it. You have a physical organ called the brain. You are not your brain, but it's a physical organ. And what they found, what she's found through studies along with many other neurologists, is that literally thoughts create structures, physical structures in the brain. Dr. Leaf says, a thought is a real physical thing made up of proteins and chemicals that occupies mental real estate in the brain. And she said it creates a tree-like structure in the brain. Now, there are good thoughts and there are bad thoughts. There are thoughts that are false and thoughts that are true. She said, thoughts look like trees. There are memories of the root and branch memories. The thought itself is a concept or the big idea. Inside the thought are embedded memories. There can be any number of memories, thousands even, in one thought, just as there are hundreds, even thousands of branches at the root of a tree. What's amazing to me, and you, there, she's written many books, and I'd encourage you to get them. I'd encourage you to read them. It's profound. As I was listening to these lectures and studying from Romans and for a number of supernatural things that happened to me over the past couple of weeks, I began to see these tree structures in my own life. And honestly, they're good. I have good tree structures, but there are some things I see that the Lord wants to deal with within me. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about your thought life will release life or death. What you're thinking about, C.S. Lewis said it this way, the thoughts that you have in your head, the thoughts that you have in your mind about God are the most important thoughts that you have. So if you have a distortion about God, you have a distortion about yourself, it'll create in you literally a neural path or a structure in your actual brain. I think I shared with this, I'll use a different illustration. Pastor Karen, some of you know, some of you don't, but she's a black belt in Taekwondo, which is fantastic. She trained for many, many years. When she gave her life to Christ, the Lord took it away from her, said, you're not allowed to do that anymore. And there's a number of reasons, and maybe you'll end up sharing that at some point. There was a pride that was behind it, and also there was a lot of violence. She wasn't allowed to do that and love God. The Lord said, let it go. She had to kill it. She tried to go back to it. I mean, I wanted to kind of a ninja. It would be great. My wife's a ninja. I'm like, can't you keep practicing that? It's awesome most of the time. She had to put it off. But interesting, still today, there is neural paths. And without thinking about it, she can hit those neural paths. And I've seen it happen. Sometimes when, you know, we're playing, I start tickling her and she wants me to stop. There's a neural path. We were walking years ago, walking with Hannah in a you know, baby carriage, and this pit bull comes from a property charging us, and it's, you know what I'm saying? It really looks like it's gonna attack, it's gonna bite. And so as the dog's coming, we're, you know, fight or flight, instantly I'm gonna kill the dog. That's what I'm thinking. And I turn, she's on the inside, so the dog's coming. It's gonna get to Karen first. I grab her arm to step through, and she just goes, wah! And the dog stops. I'm like, what? Neural path. She hadn't practiced for years. All of a sudden, there she is, Ninja Karen. When you think negatively, back in your notes, when you think negatively, it brings a disruption to the natural electrochemical flow of the brain, she says. Literally, negative thinking interrupts. Your brain is not supposed to think negative things. That's what she's saying. And does that sound scriptural? It absolutely is. Every day, moment by moment, you can change the structures of your thinking, and some of you are trapped into a neural path that you've had since you were a kid, since you were a young adult, since maybe you've had since you last got divorced, or the difficulty or the trauma or the thing that you went through is created a neural path. I'm just telling you, I know, because I had a lot of neural paths that needed to be wiped out. And by the grace of God, through coming to the church and serving God and studying the word and learning to live right and learning to change my thinking, God has transformed my life, and he's still transforming my life. If you need your life transformed, let me tell you where it happens. Right here, baby. It happens in your thinking, and you have to tear down structures. Paul calls it strongholds. I've preached messages on it. You can go and check that out. YouTube. Just go to our YouTube channel and you can search videos, strongholds. It'd be a good part two to this message. She says this, we live from what we've grown. My God, what? The way your life is Now, of course, there's others involved, and you know, we can't control other people. Some of you try. You can't control people. You're responsible for you. And we're to pray and bear one of those burdens and all of that. But the way that you live and the practice of your thinking grows structures in your brain. Now, you already have them. You have them. Some of them need to be violently removed. And it's not a surgeon, except the surgeon Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit through the word of God. You change your mind. You change the way you think. I love what Lisa Bevere said. There she is. My husband's going to die. He's going to do it. And she has all this rattle going on about her husband in a particular situation. And then she goes, he's going to die. He's going to fall off the cliff. And like, no, no. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Just say no. Some of you need to rebuke yourself. No, I don't think I can do it. You're right. You can't. Oh, I think I can do all things through Christ. You're also right. You can change, but if you don't learn to think new thoughts, if you don't think according to scriptural truth, you will be destined to live a life corrupted and distorted and far beneath your God-given blood-bought right. You must change the way you think. Come on, some of you used to be a serious jerk. That happened because of different things that you've gone through. Maybe you came out the womb a jerk, but you can be changed. We're not designed by our Creator to be plagued with anxiety, fear, depression, bitterness. Instead, we've been given by God a spirit of power, love, and sound mind or self-discipline. You must get a hold of your thinking. And can you control your thinking? You don't let your thoughts control you. You're a spirit with a body and a mind, not a body and a mind with a spirit. It's the other way around. You need to learn to live from the Spirit, based upon truth, the word of God. The word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain. His word will endure forever. And when you get truth down into your thinking, you begin to you become unstoppable by the power of the resurrection in your life. But if you allow distortions and you allow lies, you will live a life that's distorted, filled with anxiety and pain, and God's not going to come and do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Can I preach in here? Why don't you lift your hands and say hallelujah? Come on, say hallelujah. Man, what a day that was when I realized he's not going to do that. I have to do that. I'm like, what? Yeah, he did the death and resurrection part. You receive that. Then you have to change this. Your behavior follows your thought life. Your behavior follows your thinking. We need some TRT. Not testosterone replacement therapy, as some of you are thinking. We need thought replacement therapy. I've had numerous people say, well, how old are you? I said, I'm 57. They said, are you doing the DRT thing? I said, no. I said, well, you need to. I'm like, whatever. You know what everybody needs? From the youngest to the oldest? Thought replacement therapy. You replace toxic thoughts with healthy biblical thoughts. Your emotions will follow. Some of you had no idea who you are. I preached on your identity just recently, and this really ties into that. You have to get a hold of your thought life. You must change it. We had a, I think it was Jesse or Missy, blue tick coonhound, hated water, didn't want to get washed. Well, it was time to wash the dog. How many of you know you got to wash your dog every so often? Well, the way you wash this dog is you sneak up on it. And, you know, you have the hose over there, but you got to get it by the collar. And you get that blue tick coontown by the collar. Your leg over the dog, buckle the dog. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Smaller dogs, you have to get really low. Buckle that blue tick coonhound and take the hose Don't let go of the collar. Keep your knees buckled in and wet. You're going to get wet. You're going to have to deal with it. Because if you don't do that, the dog is going to get out. Some of you need to get a hold of your thinking that way. You get a hold of it and you wash it with the water of the word. You buckle down on that thing. You simply do not allow yourself to think thoughts that are contrary to truth. If you don't know the word, then you don't know truth. You don't allow yourself. Some of you think that you just think anything. No, listen, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from making a nest in your hair. I love what she said here. This is interesting. She said that it's a myth, 21 days, Dr. Leaf. It's a myth that 21 days creates a new habit. There's no evidence of that. She says, actually, the neural cycle is 9 weeks, 63 days. She said, some are 66 days. 63 days to change the way that you're thinking. And then it goes on to say, and some of those are two or three cycles of that. Man, I think I might have had four or five cycles of it. Anybody else? 63 days. So you battle that thought and you deal with it, and it takes 63 days to shift literally the structure, the physical structure of proteins in your mind, in your brain. Disruption is. Does that make sense? You said, well, I've got so many. I know. Yeah, I've had a lot myself. How do you deal with it? One at a time, baby. One at a time. Sometimes, well, some things are longer, harder to turn. 63 days is a neural cycle. It's interesting. Science. We don't really find that in scripture, but we do find scriptures that back it, not the time. But do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking godly thoughts, thinking scriptural truth. We believe in absolute truth. Is anybody getting anything here this morning? We believe in absolute truth. So your experience is true in that it's your experience. But you can be healed of that trauma. You can be healed of those things by allowing Jesus, his forgiveness, his power, his resurrection power to come upon your life and change the way you think. He can heal you. Come on, someone say he can heal you. 63 days is a neural cycle, and then 42 days of practice. I'm thinking, I want it faster than that. And you know something? I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that you certainly can have it faster. And I have had more touches of heaven in my life that completely changed the way I think. I had phobias or different fears were completely lifted off, and I didn't do any 63-day cycle. I got the power. The Spirit of God hit me as a man of God, a woman of God prayed for me. Something happened. Something shifted, and then I backed that with scripture, and I stood on it, but it was clearly changed from a moment in an altar or in a service. While I'm preaching right now, God's power is being released because it's the Word of God, and it's having effect in your mind in the Philippines. Come on, somebody. Amen. Wherever you are, understand that the power of the Word of God will change you.
I need God to change my husband because he just needs some changing.
Well, you need some changing too. She gives these five things, and then we're going to look at the text and get right into the scripture. But she gives these five steps, and I thought they were fascinating, of overcoming and creating neural paths, gather awareness. See, when you see a broken place in your life, and then you've just been made aware, pray, God, show me any brokenness of my life, and he'll show you. And you gather awareness of that. And goes on to say, ask questions, begin to identify, why are you behaving that way? I had a situation just happened. And I've instantly triggered. Triggers are beautiful because they show you where the root is. In other words, when you blow your top and somebody really didn't even do anything, it's not them. It's you. or lust or a greed or a memory. You begin to look for, you begin to gather the awareness of what's taking place. Then you ask why, and you ask the Holy Spirit, why? It's just fascinating that she says, then you do this dump writing or metacog, a metacog tree. Listen to this, this is interesting. Come on, it's just science, but just chill. We're going to get in the word here in a minute. There's two parts of your brain, two hemispheres, two lobes. Is it two or four? Four, I think, is it? Anyway, this right and left side. Metacogging is you begin to write down all the things associated with the why, the behavior, and you begin to remember what happened. And maybe a memory comes, you write that memory down. And it's more than just writing along a page of the paper. Literally, she says, allow it to be creative, and you can build it, make a tree, and put some art with arrows and everything. Shit, that's important because it goes between the logical and the creative side of your mind, and it heals your brain. Now, this is just science, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you can be healed. You can change your life, but if you don't change your thinking, I don't care how many services you go to, you will never be transformed if your thinking doesn't change. And it can happen at an altar, and yes, absolutely can happen in your quiet time that you never have with the Lord. It can happen a lot of different ways, but if you don't change the way that you think, you will never live the new life. You will never live a life of victory. It won't be out with the old, in with the new. You'll just be old. What are the patterns? Number four, what are the patterns? And again, you can go get her book, so I'm just kind of giving an overview. And then action. Number five, what is the action that you take to move into your new life? Now, these are biblical patterns, and she's a Christian neurologist. Fascinating. Let's look at this text. Brief review of the context here. There's three laws at work. You see this in Romans 7. The law of sin and death. Everybody say the law of sin and death. Romans 6, pardon me, verse 23. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a consequences of sin that leads to death. That's the law of sin and death. There's the law or the Torah, the law of the Torah. It's the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, 1 through 17, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 6 through 21. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Then there's the law of the Spirit of life. I love the testimony of John G. Lake. Some of you probably heard it before, but during the bubonic plague in Africa, he didn't get sick at all. And they asked him, how come you're not sick? He says, simple. Take some of the bubonic plague. Scientists asked him, doctors asked him, take some of the foam there and put it on my hand. They put it on his hand. So they tested it before. It's got bubonic plague virus. They put it on his hand, then they scraped it off and they retested it and it was dead. And they said, how is that possible? He says, the life of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We are a part of life. Come on, there's life that flows from him. And that is what I want to be under. How about you? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2, New Living Translation, and because you belong to him, the power of the living, life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The Message version says this, Romans 8 and 2. A new power is in operation, the Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air. We know about strong wind. Freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. There is liberation that comes by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? We've been made righteous. Verse 4. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. this concept that following the Spirit as believers literally releases life that's righteous. When you live according to the Spirit, according to the Word, you are living a righteous life. There's imputed righteousness, and then there's an imparted righteousness, if I could say it that way. Imputed righteousness, big college word that basically means the righteousness that's upon God, he puts it upon you when you believe. You've been made righteous by his blood. You didn't have to die. He died. And this substitutionary propitiation, the propitiation of our sin comes upon us. He was the propitiation of our sin. Substitutionary death. And the life of God comes upon us, making us righteous. So when Jesus looks at you, when God looks at you, he doesn't see sin if you're covered in the blood. If you've made a confession, if you've repented of your sin. If you've been born again. If you've not been born again, I would highly advise in the moments that remain towards the end of the service that you get right with God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's imputed righteousness. Imparted righteousness really is a revelation that, wait a second, I'm set free from that. If you are married to somebody and that person dies, God forbid, are you still married? Let me try that again. Some of you are nervous. If you were married to somebody, if someone's married, hypothetically, somebody's married now, and their spouse dies, is the person still alive married? No. Everybody say no. It is the same way with the law. It's the same way with the spirit of death. It's the same way with sin and death. You are no longer married to that. You've been delivered. I'm married with Christ. Jesus lives on the inside of me. No longer I that live, but Christ lives on the inside of me. I owe no debt, no obligation, nothing to the sinful nature. I owe everything to God. I've been made new. Anybody else been made new? Yes, sir. Marriage speaks of Christ and the church, the great mystery. So life is described according to where you set your mind in this text. Listen to this. I had you repeat it. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So what are you thinking about? People that sin think about sinning. People that are born again and following the Spirit of God think about pleasing God. That is a bit. Listen, if you say you're saved and you love God, let me just tell you what you think about. You think about pleasing him more than anything else. Do you stumble? Yes. We all stumble in many ways, but you don't practice sin. Come on, someone say, I'm not practicing sin. One mindset adopts the implication that it adopts death. The other mindset adopts resurrection power. Which one are you thinking on? There's two groups of people in the world, fleshly people and the living dead. The fleshly people are the living dead or like zombies. I don't know if you've ever met a Christian. That's someone who says that they're born again. They love God. They used to use, well, that's a worldly Christian. Anybody ever heard that terminology? It's really odd. Maybe it's an undiscipled Christian. God knows some of us used to be that way. You missed a great place to say amen or oh me or oh my or something. The fleshly Christian, the worldly Christian says that they love God, but they have all kinds of things that don't line up with that. Though there are those kind of Christians, and there are people that have not been born again. They are people that are still in the flesh, still bound by the law of sin and death. Then there's spirit people. That's us. That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be spirit people, people of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the people who live according to the Spirit have life and peace. Life, real life. Zoe is the Greek word. Zoe, it's God, not a disrupted, broken mind led by neural paths that take you to hell and torment you and bring you into a place of destruction. No, those who are led by the Spirit of God, transforming their thinking, being changed, having the life that God says that we could have, being who God says we could be. I'm preaching way better than your amening. Come on, give me an amen. You have to be so intense about it? Yeah. Because your life's on the line. And I'll stand before you how I've taught you. So I'm trying to make it very plain, very clear. What you think about. And Paul describes the sinful man as hostile to God. Flesh battles against God. Because the flesh doesn't want to be crucified. You're like, oh, sign me up. No, your flesh does not want to be signed up for death. Flesh is one of the great revelations I believe God gave me. It's so simple. I did a long, prolonged 40-day fast years ago. It saved this church many, many years ago. It saved us. We wouldn't be here if God not led us in that time. Facts. And at the end of that, one of the revelations I got is the flesh is a lot stronger. I remember at the end of that time drinking orange juice. There was a few of the staff that was there. Were you there, Pastor Tim? Drank orange juice in my house. I broke my 40-day fast with the orange juice and burst into tears and went off into a back room and cried like a baby. You can't do a 40-day water fast. And just you eat a tomato, you're going to go straight to heaven. You can't just eat stuff. Oh, yes, the fast's over. No. Otherwise, you die. You get really close to God immediately. You got to start your stomach acid back up, and there's a whole right way to do that. I wept, and I remember thinking, oh, the flesh is so strong. But the spirit is stronger. Can you say amen? It's hostile to God. Galatians 5 and 24, those who are Christ have crucified. Listen closely. How many of you belong to Jesus? Lift your hand to heaven. If you belong to Jesus, lift your hand. All right. Listen then. This would then apply to you. And if you don't belong to Jesus, again, we're going to remedy that in just a moment. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If you belong to Christ, you will see that taking place in your life. Oh, it's not that you don't yield occasionally, and may you not. There's a battle there. There certainly is a battle. But there's a regular pattern of you putting your flesh down and submitting to God, resisting the devil and submitting to God. Submitting to God, I should say, and resisting the devil. There's a continual pattern of you putting your flesh down. He said, I just can't control myself. Well, who is controlling you then? The battle is to put our flesh down. The flesh doesn't submit to God's law. We try to do good. Paul talks about that. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. I want to do good. I'm paraphrasing here. I want to do good, but sin is right there with me. Oh, who will deliver me? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I remember years ago being in great bondage and coming to the Lord. I still had so many neural patterns that needed to change and a mind that needed to be renewed. I had so many memories and brokenness. And I remember being torn in two. I literally felt like half of me was being ripped to go do the evil. And the other half is like, Jesus, help. It was a psychotic experience until I read that scripture and I realized, my God, there's a war on the inside of me. The battlefield of the mind. Joyce Meyer talks about it. We have a life group that goes through that. You're in a battle. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you're in a battle. And it's right here. My. Doesn't submit to God's law. Can't please God. Your flesh can't please God. All right. God, speaking to us, worship team, please. Because of Christ's work, because of what Jesus has done, the work of the Holy Spirit, we have a choice. I want you to say, I have a choice. You can focus on the work of the flesh. You can yield to your flesh. Somebody said it's like the white dog and the black dog. The black dog being evil and the white dog being pure. You feed the white dog or they feed the black dog. If you feed the evil dog, then you'll end up doing more evil. If you feed the good dog, then you'll end up doing more good. I suggest you load a 45 bullet and cap the black dog. Amen. Kill the evil thing and live for God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But if you keep feeding those thoughts, oh, we can focus on the flesh or we can focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Our minds can be transformed. I want you to turn there. It'll be the final scripture today. Romans 12. Out with the old, in with the new. A new life by new thinking. If you don't learn to think new, you will stay old. You will stay deformed. You'll have neural patterns that'll destroy your life. You'll have strongholds that'll take you a place you never wanted to go. So I've been saved my whole life. Great. You still have stuff you need to deal with. And I'm going to tell you when that's over. When you're dead, that's over. You still renew your mind. You still press in. I've been pastoring for going on 25 years. I don't know what it is, 23, I think. Was saved before that. And as I'm studying this morning in the wee hours of the morning, the Lord's like this. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, you would think maybe that you'd be through. And I'm the only one. You know when you're going to be perfect? When you're dead. You go to heaven. You will not have the battle anymore, but everyone is. So what's he saying to you? None of your business. You talk to God. You got your own issues. I'm just glad he speaks to us. Romans 12 and 2 in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Can you put this up? Oh, look at you go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way, come on, the way you what? How are you made a new person? By the way you think. Yes, the Word of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is the truth that you need to start thinking. If it's not in the Word, drive it out. Yeah. Gonna think brand new. Gonna be changed by truth. Oh God. I'm not gonna copy the behavior and customs of this world. No. I'm gonna let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. Hey, then you will learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Gonna change the way I think. I'm getting rid of the stinking thinking. I'm gonna change the way I think. I'm creating some new neural paths by the Word. I'm being made new by the transforming of my mind. I'm taking the truth of God's Word and I'm making my mind think right. Get your mind right. Get your think right. Come on.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.